going to speak to Alison Morris about this other national sport that we have, which is bonfire building. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning.
Alison,
I've been on a 2 week holiday and came back on Sunday just in time for the annual sport of bonfire building. So didn't I time that well?
Well, you'll be busy, and I hope you have tickets for Thursday night. But of course, it's a bit like the Open. You can go to the practice days as well, and there is so much happening around this. In fairness, you know, is it okay to say progress has been made on the bonfire front? Tires are being removed. One bonfire has been relocated. I'm talking about East Belfast. But there are others, aren't there, that the council are looking at?
I know that a lot of people think we have the same debate every year and nothing ever changes. But things since I have started reporting on these bonfires really have changed. If I go back to 15 or 20 years ago, there were hundreds of these bonfires that were built on interfaces. They were built directly beside peace walls. They were built directly beside people's houses. There was sectarian slogans, sectarian music, the whole lot that went along with it. And the upset that came to that, you used to have masked men showing up and firing shots at these bonfires. All of that, I think, has been dealt with and calmed down. But we do still have problematic bonfires. There's no doubt about that.
And now the masked men turn up to take them down.
Well, that's exactly it. And the issue is, too, that we live in a very urban place. So if you think about 20 years ago, the amount of waste ground there would have been in Belfast that was post-conflict, nobody particularly wanted to invest or to build anything here. And now we have a thriving city, so there's less and less places where these bonfires can be built, and they're being squeezed into smaller and smaller spaces, which puts them closer to businesses or homes. And that's when we have bonfires that maybe wouldn't have been controversial in the past that have become quite controversial here in the now and the present. But we're only dealing with, you know, a handful, maybe 20 bonfires now, whereas in the past we maybe would have been dealing with 50, 100, 150 problematic bonfires. So I suppose it is progress. It's not perfect, but it is getting better.
And are the council looking at other bonfires? If we look at Twitter, there's some suggestion from those who are preparing the bonfire celebrations that they're worried that bonfires that don't have any tires in them could be removed by these masked men in the near future. Or is that scaremongering?
So Belfast City Council have been really proactive in relation to tackling the bonfires. So if you go back to 2017, they tried to take an injunction out against a few of the sites where there was problems, were in Bloomfield, Walkley and in Inverary. They didn't enact those injunctions, and so the injunction remained in place but didn't particularly do anything. Then last year we had a completely different change of tact in relation to the Bloomfield Walkway and in relation to the problematic bonfire clear in place, where what they did was they took the landowners, Belfast City Council took an injunction against the landowners, which was a bizarre situation, which was the Department for Infrastructure. So here we had one government body going into the High Court to challenge another government body to say, you own that piece of land, they own the roads, you own that road, you own that land, remove that bonfire. So at that stage, we've seen masked men coming in with, you know, flatbed lorries and removing the bonfire material from Bloomfield and from Clune Place. That was quite a scene, and I was there reporting on that in East Belfast. It's the first time we've seen anything as dramatic as that. This year, we've had a similar situation where we've had several bonfires. So the Bloomfield Walkway bonfire is no longer an issue. Instead, those boys moved that out the back of Wiseby's, which a lot of us will be very familiar with over in East Belfast. That was moved last night. So last night there was an agreement, a voluntary agreement with the bonfire builders. They've moved it to waste ground beside the Oval, which I assume is somewhere they've been told that they can safely put it. The big problem one this year appears to be the one on Avonlea Leisure Centre. It's on Leisure Centre property. It's on the Leisure Centre car park. It was also filled with tyres. And so the council was saying they were sending in contractors to clear the entire site. Yesterday we've seen, as you were looking on social media or watching the news, the bonfire builders themselves took a decision to remove the tyres from that bonfire. The council have agreed to come and remove those tyres and have them ethically disposed of. But the wood still remains, so there's still a debate as to whether or not the council are still going to send in the contractors to remove what's left of that wood, which, as I said, is in a leisure centre car park, or whether or not the fact that the tyres have been taken off is going to be enough to allow that to go ahead on Thursday evening.
So the jury's still out on that one to some extent. Yeah. Who pays for the transfer from the back of Wiseby's down to the Oval? Is that a local arrangement with people with a van and a man, or do we all pay for that?
I think what we'll find if we drill down into these things, a lot of it is paid for by us. So we had a bizarre situation a few years ago where there was wood being stacked in an area where the local people had objected to it, and the council had agreed to have it lifted in vans and taken away and stored at our expense for the bonfire builders to then give it back to them closer to the 12th, so that it wasn't lying around looking untidy. But what happened with that is that other bonfire builders found out where it was stored and stole it from the first bonfire builders. All of this was done at the ratepayer's expense. Think about those tyres, Frank. So there was 1,800 tyres taken out of a bonfire at the London Road in East Belfast. There's also tyres that have now been removed from Avonlea Leisure Centre. Those tyres, and I think that this is where we next need to start looking at, is they were clearly part recycled. So you go and get your tyres changed in your car. You pay a fee to have that tyre ethically disposed of. There are definitely, and you can see that 1,800 tyres aren't found lying around the place. There has got to be a situation where that we have people who are paid off to dispose tyres, who are either through threat or for financial gain, handing them over to lawless bonfires, and then we're having to pay to take them away again. So you've probably already paid to have your tyre disposed of. Your tyre finds itself on a bonfire. The council are taking it off the bonfire, and we're having to pay again through the rates to have it disposed of again in a proper way, because you know the disposal of tyres is environmentally unfriendly anyway, and it has to be done in a very specific and very expensive way.
So are there questions, but other questions to be answered by the tyre industry in Northern Ireland, by some, I emphasise, some sections of the tyre industry?
There is, because I don't think that 1,800 tyres just falls out of anywhere. It's not like, you know, I know that we've had people on during the week talk about sort of nostalgic days of bonfire building. We built a small bonfire at the end of the street. You might have found one or two tyres lying around a council tip or in someone's back garden. You don't find 1,800 tyres lying around the place. They've clearly came from somewhere. So the tyre industry itself, I think, and that's what the police should be looking to say, these tyres will not and should not find themselves on a lawless bonfire. They're destroying the environment. And the fact is that I know that we hear a lot about attacks on culture. That is an attack on culture. You know, asthma and respiratory illnesses don't have a religion. You don't have Catholic asthma and Protestant asthma. You don't have, you know, people who are suffering from angina who are defined, who can live beside a bonfire. You just can't. And I think that we're at a time when most normal people will accept that you cannot burn environmentally damaging and toxins which are damaging to your health on a bonfire beside a housing estate and beside where people live. You know, it's not culture. I don't think it's anything to do with loyalist culture. I know that they talk about the beacons and how that was all part of loyalist tradition, and I think that we need to be careful that we're not seen to be completely trying to eradicate something that some people hold so dear. But it has to be done in a safe and environmental way, in a way that isn't damaging not just to our children, but to everyone's children, to the people who live beside it, to the old people who live beside it. You know, in Portadown, we have a situation where they're telling people who live in a block of flats that they have to move to a youth hostel 10 miles away because the bonfire is too close. That's unacceptable. I don't think that anyone thinks that in this day and age that's an acceptable expression of anyone's culture.
Is there any sign of that one being resolved, or are the people out from the 10th to the 12th?
Bizarrely, what we've been told is last night when I was talking to someone about that, is that they can't source any contractors who are willing to go in and remove it because they're deeming it too much of a threat to go in and do it. If you cast your mind back to last year when we've seen the contractors get into East Belfast and removing that clay in place profile, they weren't from here. I mean, I could hear them speaking. They all had English accents. They were brought in from elsewhere to do that. Can you imagine the expense of that? The council refused to tell us the expense of that. They said it was commercially sensitive, so we still have no idea how much that operation cost. But that one in Portadown should be removed, or at least reduced in size. I think that it's bonkers that you're asking people who live beside you, who are meant to be your friends and neighbours, to move out of their house because you won't reduce the size or move your bonfire. And if all these things were done, I think what we could stop, because I don't want to write about this. As I said, I'm going to back my holidays. I don't want to come straight in and start writing about wooden pellets and tyres. You know, it's not how any of us want to spend our year. There is a way of doing this in a way that is fun for the young people who want it as part of their tradition. It makes people who think that they're not under attack, but it's also not damaging to people's property, and we can start that very slowly. We have to give credit where credit's due. They went in and removed the tyres voluntarily in Avonlea, and that's a positive step. But we still have to look at the bizarre situation where we're building bonfires in leisure centre car parks as well, and the damage that's causing to that surface and that environment. And all of these things, and maybe where there was talk, I know that Mervyn Gibson a few years ago suggested that sites could be identified and ring-fenced off where they won't be sold off for commercial building, and they could be used for celebrations, maybe for people to have festivals during the year at certain times. and then use for bonfires, where maybe at one stage people from an area will have one major, you know, bonfire in one area with a festival surrounding it, rather than the, you know, the hundreds of small little ones that we have now. Unfortunately, I think it became like a competition. And once the situation where pallets come into play, it's like Jenga. So you can build those things as tall and as high as you want, whereas years ago you wouldn't have had that. It was basically people collecting, you know, rubbish and scrap wood and old wardrobes and mattresses and all sorts of other things. You wouldn't have been able to build them to those sort of skyscraper heights, whereas now they are being built to that, and the ones that are being built to those heights with stuff full of tires, I mean, they're causing untold damage to people's health, and it can't be allowed. It's not an expression, I don't think, of culture. And we heard that from quite a few loyalist representatives this week, and people like John Kyle saying that it doesn't represent their culture. But I do think that we need to be very careful, that there are a lot of very angry young men and young loyalists who feel very disenfranchised and very cut off from politics and very cut off from the situation that we're in now, and we need to not make them think that they're further under attack, that we can't do this in a respectful way, and we can give them a wee bit of space to do this every year, but not to do it in a way that's damaging to property or damaging to people's homes or damaging to people's health.
Just one final question to you, Alison. You mentioned the English speaking masked people who are the contractors who go in. They've been in a few times now to carry out work over the last couple of years. They're not available for Portadown. In your commentary there, is there a suggestion in what you're saying that they are off-duty army, or you feel they're just English people who come in to drive the diggers?
I don't think that the ones who came in last year were off-duty army, but there was an indication that they were a company that did involve people who were ex-military. The tires that were moved this week from London Road off of Ravenhill, I don't believe that they were outside contractors, but I mean, think about the, you know, the bizarre situation is that for them to come in and remove those tires, the registration plates had to be taken off all their vehicles, and they wore masks so that they couldn't be identified. And they didn't do that just for the good of their health. They didn't, you know, go in to do, you know, remove tires and pile them on the back of a van with balaclavas on them for no reason. They did it because there is considered by police and by everyone else to be a threat to their life if they go in and remove this. And so we have to think about the cost of that, because you're not going to send your company and your workers up to do something as dangerous as that without them being adequately paid. And all that cost comes back to us. So that's all out of our rates. That's all something that could have been put to much good use for those young people. The young people that are standing at that bonfire, that's their leisure facilities are paid for out of that same money, you know.
It is quite a story. People who are looking in on it can't really believe what they're seeing. But then this is Northern Ireland. Alison, thank you very much indeed. 02890 333 105. Contractors not available to go in to Portadown. Maybe there isn't the will to go in to Portadown to resolve that issue. Maybe they feel that if they did go in, it would spark something worse than they have at the moment. The removal of families to a youth hostel so as the fire can proceed.